May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you were here two Sunday evenings before Christmas, you would have heard David preach on the subject, Can We Trust the Christmas Carols? And he looked at some of the lyrics of the Christmas carols and in places found them wanting. But if you weren't here, I would encourage you to listen to the sermon on the website, because David presented a very careful timeline of the Christmas story from the Gospels, particularly of Matthew and Luke. And he pointed out to us that in Christmas through the keyhole and the mega nativity, we might be guilty of misleading people, because in mega nativity, the whole of the story was told in an hour, when of course it took place over months. Indeed, we probably should not have the kings, wise men, magi, whatever you want to call them, and the shepherds here at the same time. And there would be plenty of other Anglican churches in which people would throw up their hands in horror if they came in today and saw what's there. Having said that, of course, we live in post-Christian Wales, and we are trying to communicate the whole of the story. Now, Matthew's purpose in these early chapters of his gospel seems to be to establish who Jesus is. And if you look at chapter 1, you'll see a long genealogy of 42 generations. And at the end of it, in verse 16, Matthew records, And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus there are 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. So that's clear enough. He's trying to establish that Jesus is the Messiah. And he then records the visit of an angel to Joseph, who tells Joseph that that Jesus will get the name Jesus because he will save his people from his sins. And that's in verse 21. Now, Israel was and should have been expecting a savior, because a few verses before the verses we read in Isaiah, Isaiah had told the people that the Redeemer will come to Zion. So this record of the visit of the Magi to the infant Jesus gives us some more information about who Jesus is. Jesus is King of the Jews. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? And ironically, though this was not recognized for much of Jesus' ministry on earth, it was the thing that was hammered onto the cross on which he was crucified. Jesus will be a ruler, the shepherd of Israel, and we learn that he is worthy of worship. He is divine. So let's look at this passage from the perspective first of the Magi and then of Herod and his advisers. Now, notice that these events took place after the birth of Jesus. We don't know how long after. We'll come back to that. What sort of people were the Magi? Well, the tradition grew up that they were kings, and it's thought more widely now that they weren't, although as you would have seen in the passage from Isaiah, that Isaiah saw this vision that kings would come to the Messiah. If you look at the use of the Greek word which is translated as magi in our Bibles, if you look at how it's used in other writings, you'll find it translated as sorcerers, dream interpreters, magicians, and enchanters. And of course, the word from which we get magic. But if you look at where this word is used in the Greek version of the Old Testament, you see that these people were found in Pharaoh's court and in Babylon. How many were there? We don't know. But of course, three gifts are mentioned, so that's how it has grown up, that there were three of them. They weren't from the Orient as we know it, but they were from the East, probably from Persia or Babylonia. And they may well have been astrologers. They certainly studied the stars. And in those days, astronomical events were often linked in people's minds to political events. And if somebody noticed a political event in relation to an astronomical event, and then later on saw the same astronomical event, they started looking for the political event to be linked to it. It seems likely that they were pagans, but if they came from Babylon, they may well have had access to the Hebrew scriptures. And it certainly seems that they associated the star that they had observed with the prophecy that we read from Numbers. And in this prophecy in Numbers, just to recap a little bit about what Rosemary said, Balaam was a seer, and he'd been asked to curse Israel by King Balak. But God intervened to make sure he didn't. And these words, star and scepter, they are associated with kings. And this king is going to deal with Israel's enemies. The prophecy did come true shortly after it was made in the conquest of Canaan and in King David. But it had been seen for a long time as pointing forward to the coming of the Messiah. And the Magi, having seen this star, must have been open to the Hebrew God in some way, because they were prepared to make the long journey to pay homage to the baby Jesus with their costly gifts. And these gifts were fit for a king. They're mentioned quite a lot in Old Testament contexts. For example, these were the gifts that the Queen of Sheba brought to King Solomon. And if we turn to Herod and his advisors, Herod was known as Herod the Great because he had rebuilt the temple and much else. He reigned from about 40 BC to his death in 4 BC. And he was spectacularly unscrupulous. He was also spectacularly paranoid. And he saw danger everywhere in his court, and got rid of people and sidelined people. He was not really a Jew, but an Edomite. He wasn't a true descendant of King David. He was worried that Jesus, this person that the Magi were seeking, might indeed be a true descendant of King David and therefore a threat to him. And of course, he was quite right. Jesus was a descendant of David. It's not quite so clear why old Jerusalem was troubled. Surely they should have been rather pleased that the Messiah was coming. But Herod was sufficiently savvy to summon the correct advisers, and they gave him the correct advice. The king of the Jews would be born in Bethlehem. But let's look at Herod's response. Bethlehem's about 4.5 miles from Jerusalem. But Herod was not prepared to go and to check this out for himself. He was probably already scheming how to get rid of this potential rival. But Matthew makes clear that his failure to respond well was not due to ignorance. He had got the right answer from his advisors. His question about when the star appeared suggests that he was trying to establish the date of birth of this potential rival. Scholars don't really agree on this, but as later on he ordered the killing of all baby boys under 2, that gives us an idea of when these magi may have come, sometime in Jesus' first 2 years. And the response then, when he sends the magi to Bethlehem and they find the child and his mother, their response is great joy. They worshipped Jesus. Now, the Greek word here, we're told, can mean simply pay homage. But Matthew regularly uses this when Jesus is seen to be more than just human. For example, after the resurrection or after the calming of the storm. Matthew's trying to communicate to us here that the Magi recognize Jesus as divine, and they present Jesus with costly gifts. They could have kept these valuable items for themselves, but they thought Jesus worthy of these costly gifts. And in doing so, they fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that we read earlier. Things were very bad for Israel at the time that Isaiah made this prophecy. But God was going to intervene. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over all the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. God was going to intervene. And other nations were going to be, other than Israel, were going to take note and be drawn to him. And very specifically, that gold and incense were going to be brought. Although we might feel that it was dubious that about the camels, they are mentioned here in Isaiah. I said at the beginning that in these early chapters of his gospel, Matthew was establishing that Jesus is the Messiah. And when he recorded the visit of the Magi, he provided further evidence. He provided evidence that the Magi were guided by the star and that they fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. So how should we respond? Well, the proper response to understanding who Jesus is the one that the Magi gave. The proper response is to worship him, and this may be very costly. For our brothers and sisters in some other parts of the world, it can even cost them their lives. But for us, it's more likely that the worst we would suffer would be scorn. And the response of Herod is a warning to us about unbelief if we too are presented with the truth about Jesus. We too could be just interested but not willing to pursue the matter personally. We can be concerned that if Jesus is really king, this will affect our own power or our own lifestyle. Herod is not a good example to follow, but the Magi are. And we are grateful to Matthew for recording these events for us. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for this record of the Magi visiting the Messiah. We thank you for the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Help us to respond properly. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.